The Department of Homeland Security will reorganize the National Protection and Programs Directorate. You can read more about what the agency plans to do at federalnewsradio.com, but the agency has a long list of cyber responsibilities and goals. Deputy Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas talked about the agency's cyber portfolio at Columbia University in New York. Jay Healy hosted the discussion. He's senior research scholar at Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs. He's editor of the book A Fierce Domain, Cyber Conflict 1986 to 2012, and co-author of the Cybersecurity Policy Guidebook, and here to discuss what he heard from Secretary Mayorkas. Jay, it's great to talk to you again. Welcome back to the program. What was the main message that you took away from Secretary Mayorkas' remarks?
Well, there's two main bits here, I think. First is this is you're always going to be seeing a lot of Department of Homeland Security in October. This is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and it's when they're really coming out and just trying to get out the word on overall basic cybersecurity, and certainly Deputy Secretary Mayorkas did that. When it came down to actual news, to me, one of the most striking things was his really backing down on cyber arms control. There was an agreement called Wassenaar that many countries have come together to limit the spread of advanced arms, and the administration had been trying to use this to restrict some cyber capabilities to overseas. And he really backed down from that and saying they had made a mistake by doing it.
What is your sense of the reasoning behind that? Do we have any understanding of why the change?
Well, they really got savaged by the technical communities of saying, look, this is a lot of these tools that you want to restrict are those that we use to try and make things more secure. For example, I was talking with one of the banks that said some of our threat intelligence products we might not be able to get to our overseas headquarters because they might be restricted by this by an arms control agreement. So they really said, well, we were just trying to get a comment whether this was a good idea. We're sorry, we back off. We should have maybe had an informal conversation first.
I mentioned, as I introduced you, the restructuring at the National Protection and Programs Directorate. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to review what they have in mind for NPPD. The reasoning behind it is, this is 2015, cyber threats have changed and substantially since we set up the directorate originally, and it's time to adjust to the new reality. I wonder if you have a sense more broadly for cyber structures in general, if they tend to generally be just rearranging the deck chairs, or if the threat landscape does change in such a way that it does cause a need for reorganization and restructuring from time to time.
Certainly, as the threat landscape changes, you've seen, I think the biggest change you've seen on this has been at CIA, where they looked and said, boy, cyber is just part of everything now, and we really need to be in a position to take advantage of that. And again, that reminds me of what I've seen on Wall Street, where you see banks that say, look, we're an IT company that happens to move money around. And I think that's what you've seen at CIA, of recognizing that that cyber is at the heart of everything they do. For this new change at NPPD, I do like it because they're plussing up the operational arm of NCIC, really trying to focus on the infrastructure, and that ties with their last reorganization, where they used to have the old telecommunications parts that they inherited from DoD, different from the new cyber stuff. And the last reorg put those together, and I'm hoping that will improve in this reorg.
Now, Jay, you pointed me towards some new research that you're introducing next week titled Risk Nexus, Economic Benefits and Costs of Alternative Cyber Futures, and I want to ask you about that in a moment. But you made a comment there that I think is really interesting and speaks to the heart of what agencies are struggling with. You mentioned the Wall Street company that you talked to thinks of itself now as an IT company that moves money around, and that's an interesting observation, which is the fact that everything that everybody does just about revolves around information technology and information security, and that's where the agencies are trying to figure out the right way to make sure that all of the stakeholders, including the IT stakeholders, are included in decision-making conversations.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when I talk with companies, there is a great acceptance that, boy, you know, this isn't just an IT risk anymore. This isn't just the CIO's job. This has to be the CEO, and really the board has to be the ones to own this, to hold the entire company. When I talk with U.S. government organizations, there is still a, wow, we have to get CIO to own this, because they don't, you know, government organizations don't have a board, per se. So I think that's really left these government bureaucracies behind a little bit, because they don't have that governance structure to really take it on board and say, how can we hold everybody responsible for this and all officials responsible for this? And I think that leads you to things like OPM.
Jay Healy of the Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. And as I mentioned, this work called Risk Nexus, Economic Benefits and Costs of Alternate Cyber Futures. And in this work, Jay, you and your team write, so far cyberspace has been safe enough, secure enough, and resilient enough for the past decades to reinvent nearly every industry. Unfortunately, these benefits come with an increased dependence on a shared, stunningly complex system of systems, which no one truly understands in its entirety. That statement is, first of all, entirely accurate, and second of all, quite daunting, it seems to me, when somebody sits in the chair of a policymaker or somebody holding structural responsibility for a federal agency or a private sector company.
Yeah, and what we were trying to get at, and this is the second report that we've done from the Atlantic Council in partnership with Zurich Insurance, to try and get our arms around this larger complexity. Because really what we're facing with the internet and cyber space, it's at least as complex probably as what the finance sector had. And we saw what happened in 2008 with their complexity, right? They thought they could handle the risk and pass it around, and they couldn't, even when they had huge bonuses and PhDs doing the modeling. So what we tried in this new report, which we'll launch at the Atlanta Council on this Thursday morning, on the 15th, is to try and do some modeling on the economic benefits that we get from being connected, and then compare that to the economic costs imposed by cybersecurity problems. Because we all see the headlines of all these terrible news of OPM and Target and the rest. Well, how do we know it's worth it for the economic benefits that we're getting?
It's a terrific conversation, and it really gets at the heart of the decision-making process that agencies and companies will have to make in the coming years. I was very pleased to be with you at the rollout of the first report, and I wish you all the best on Thursday. Thank you very much for coming on today, Jay. Congratulations on this great work.
Thank you.